on the rug. I love her home. She cries out for her parents. But the voices are gone. She cannot understand. She's confused. She's alone. There is blood on her hands, but it's not her fault. Not her fight, not her war. She's too young to give up, but it's not her fault.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Remember Palestine with me, Lauren Booth. As President Obama celebrates his second term in the White House, citizens of his greatest political ally Israel have also been polled. Jewish Israelis have been asked their thoughts on apartheid, the current situation which sees Palestinians forced to live as second-class citizens in their own land. We'll discuss the results later in the show. Meanwhile, in Turkey, the trial begins of the four Israeli military officers accused of being responsible for the murders of nine Turkish men aboard the Mavi Marmara civilian ferry in 2010. If found guilty, they could face 18,000 years of prison. More on that story after this report from Ashraf Shannon in Gaza.
Israeli forces escalated their attacks on the blockaded Gaza Strip in late October and early November, killing and injuring dozens of Palestinians, including a mentally disabled man. The Israeli air raids and tank fire targeted areas in eastern, northern, and southern Gaza. They also targeted homes and civilian infrastructure amid threats by Israeli army commanders to wage another war on Gaza, similar to the Israeli military operation Cast Lead, which claimed the lives of nearly 1,400 Gazans, including hundreds of women and children.
Up until now, Israeli forces have killed 15 Gazans and injured 34 others. This only shows that Israeli forces and their leaders are adamant about killing as many Palestinians as possible and committing war crimes in the Gaza Strip.
The Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights, who has been monitoring Israeli violations for many years, strongly condemned the continued and systematic attacks by Israeli forces against the Palestinian civilians. Al-Mizan called on the international community to promptly intervene to provide protection for civilians in the occupied Palestinian territory and take all necessary measures to end the Israeli gross violations of human rights.
Israeli forces sometimes want to test their weapons, like the Iron Dome missile system, so they assassinate someone in Gaza, forcing the Palestinians to retaliate by firing rockets. In general, the Gaza Strip is subjected to Israeli attacks almost on a daily basis.
Some experts have accused Israeli forces of provoking Palestinian resistance fighters into firing homemade rockets to test the Israeli missile interception system, also known as Iron Dome. But the renewed surge in the attacks has also prompted fears of more bloodshed among Palestinians in Gaza, who only want to live in peace.
We call on Arab countries and the international community to intervene and put an end to the Israeli aggressions against us.
With the continued Israeli threats and the ongoing blockade, Palestinians in Gaza say they fear the worst amid the silence of the international community. Experts say the Israeli escalation against the civilians in Gaza amounts to war crimes and crimes against humanity. Ashraf Shannon, reporting for Remember Palestine, Gaza.
This week, a further 1,200 illegal settler units have been approved for construction on Palestinian land in Al-Quds, Jerusalem. Joining me now to discuss the latest and other issues related to settlements in the West Bank is our reporter Hannah Cassis via internet from Ramallah. Hannah, let's talk about these proposed new units, where they are and what the effect is, please.
Well, those units, 607 of them will be in Pisgat Ze'ev and another 606 will be in Ramat, both illegal settlements east of Jerusalem Al-Quds. And the reason for this expansion is to have a connection between the settlements surrounding Jerusalem Al-Quds, in addition to the apartheid wall, which is already there, to cut off the Palestinian villages surrounding Al-Quds from the city itself.
Can you just give our viewers, please, a look at some kind of physical response to the demographic of Jerusalem at the moment, where people are and what it means to be encircled by settlements?
Right now, the majority of Palestinian in Al-Quds are either in the Old City or around Al-Quds, like in places like Shu'afat and Beit Hanina, as well as Abu Dis, Azariya, and other villages. But Abu Dis, Azariya, and those villages have been cut off from the Old City itself of Al-Quds by the apartheid wall and by these settlements. So these settlements are actually circling Jerusalem Al-Quds in order to make it further or make it impossible for Palestinians in the West Bank to reach the Holy City.
And the smaller villages, when they become cut off from the suburban centres of Jerusalem, what happens to the people in these places with a settlement of aggressive settlers? Because the people who move to these are not gentle people. They are aggressive, the settlers. And you can't reach your family. Describe some of those situations.
Most of the settler violence either comes from inside of the Old City of Jerusalem and in places like Nablus, the settlements around Nablus and the settlements around Hebron al-Khalil. Mm. Those are the most fanatic settlers. Those are the ones that have been attacking Palestinians throughout the past 10 years, let's say, at least, since after the Second Intifada. Mm. And that's what many observers here say gave them the strength to enter the Palestinian villages and to attack the villages and attack the Palestinians there, is because they are sure that the weapons of resistance are no longer in the hands of Palestinians and have been taken away by either Israel or the Palestinian Authority after 2006-2007. Since there is barely any arrests made of these extremist settlers attacking the Palestinians, they keep on attacking more and more since they will not be tried or taken to court for it.
So we have a rise in violence when settlement building increases. And what happens to the people who live in East Jerusalem, who are the Palestinians? Where do they go if their homes are taken, if their land is taken and they can't expand? Natural expansion, natural growth. You have children, you have grandchildren. They can't build. Where are they going?
A lot of them are staying in the small houses that they already have, and others are going to certain areas in the rest of the West Bank, but not in Jerusalem Al-Quds itself, because of the restrictions that Israel has made for building and reconstructing in the Old Town of Jerusalem. Palestinians there cannot get permits to build their houses or expand the houses with this natural growth. So they are forced to either stay in a small house, a big family stays in a small house, or they're forced to move to the Palestinian areas around Jerusalem Al-Quds. Either way, it's a form of ethnic cleansing since they do not give license for Palestinians to build. And even if they do, it would be too much money for the Palestinians to actually have for the license alone. So that's one of the ways that they drive them out of the Old City.
And once a family has moved from Al-Quds, Jerusalem, into the zone known as the West Bank, can they go back to Jerusalem and visit family? Can they use the resources of Jerusalem?
They can. Some of them can for now, but in the future they probably will not be able to go, and their Jerusalem ID will be taken from them since they do not have a residency in Jerusalem or a job in Jerusalem. So what they're doing is making people leave in indirect ways and then saying that there's no proof that these people actually live in Jerusalem and take their Jerusalem IDs from them.
Just quickly, in the West Bank right now, as a result this week of the expansions, one particular village is being demolished.
Homes in the village of Hadis, which is close to Nablus. So far, they have demolished three houses there. And there's confrontations between the youth and the occupation forces. And this comes as a response to tenders out yesterday for the construction of 72 new homes in Ariel, which is one of the biggest settlements in the West Bank. So that's why the demolitions were happening.
And finally, Obama's been re-elected. Does his re-election mean that the people in the West Bank or Al-Quds have any feeling of optimism, the Palestinians?
No optimism at all. Most Palestinians don't really care about the election, about the results of the elections in the United States of America, since the foreign policy is probably going to stay the same for concerning Palestine. The Palestinians feel that both candidates have support from AIPAC and have support from contributors to their campaigns, which are Zionists. And they have no optimism whatsoever in a change of U.S. foreign policy, regardless of who wins the elections.
Okay, Hannah Cassis, thank you, from Ramallah. It's time now for our weekly look at the growing international resistance to Israeli apartheid.
As the race to predict the nominations for the Academy Awards 2013 has already started, the new film of Palestinian director Anne-Marie Jassir, When I Saw You, has been selected as the Palestinian Territory's entry for consideration in the Best Foreign Film category. The movie, already won as Best Arab Film at the Abu Dhabi Film Festival in October, tells the story of an 11-year-old boy who escapes from a refugee camp in Jordan in his search for freedom during 1967. This is Jassir's second film to get a Palestinian foreign Oscar entry. The first one, Salt of the Sea, was also an official selection of the Cannes International Film Festival in 2008. Hundreds of people gathered in the French cities of Paris and Toulouse to protest against the mistreatment of Palestinians by Israel. The demonstrations occurred during his recent visits of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to France.
We don't agree with the fact that he's welcomed by the French government, maybe, or at least he should be, as a war criminal, he should be arrested, he should be prevented to travel outside Israel.
Not to Dreamland, Artists and Alternative Subcultures in Gaza is a six-minute video produced in a joint effort between Active Stills Organization and the Electronic Intifada that portrays Palestinian established artists and performers in Gaza. The idea behind the video is to present Palestinian artists in their environment and the way they fight against oppression. The short film combines extracts of interviews done in 2012, as well as music and poems showing a side of Gaza that is unknown by many.
A new poll conducted by Israel's Dialogue Polling Group has produced results that should make President-re-elect Barack Obama uncomfortable. It asked the Jewish Israeli public about the rights of the Palestinians they live alongside. To discuss the results of the poll, I'm joined now by Sabah Jawad of Iraqi Democrats Against Occupation and Palestinian journalist Sami Habib. Welcome to you both. Sabah, if we can begin with this poll. The figures are very telling. I'll summarise it like this. Israelis now have reached a stage where they accept that they're living under an apartheid state with Jewish Israelis at the top of that state, and they're quite happy with it. Is that a correct summary?
It's absolutely correct. I mean, you have to understand the nature of the Israeli society. As a settler, expansionist and colonialist in its nature, and therefore it would adhere to the racist kind of ideology which is manifested actually in this survey. Israeli supporters always object and find it offensive to be compared with the South African apartheid regime. But actually all the practices of the State of Israel, and this is borne out by this survey, that they are actually inherently racist against the population, the Palestinian populations.
But you know what? It actually does more than that, because the argument by softened pro-Israeli media has always been maybe the majority of Israelis don't know what's going on. And if they knew, of course they'd object, because their forefathers have been through the same types of racism. What this says is it's not true. Take us through some of the figures.
I mean, it's appalling figures, actually. And I mean, they shouldn't be. Everybody should know about this type of mentality which exists in the state of Israel. For example, people don't even want to send their children to the same schools as Arab children. A high percentage. People don't even want to drive on the motorways. with the Arab populations in Palestine. They wanted separate motorways and so on. They wanted systematic discrimination against public jobs, for example. People to apply for some jobs, they should be discriminated against if they are Arabs and so on. And the catalogue is very full catalogue of discrimination as well. Israel will not get away, or the these people will not get away with such hatred and racism without the international support they get from the so-called international community. Because the international community know very well what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Gaza on a daily basis, but they still give a massive support for the state of Israel. Therefore, they're encouraging such policies.
Okay, Sami Habib, these new figures then show that the international community is supporting apartheid. Would you go along with that?
Well, I entirely agree. The international community is not only supporting Israel, but it's complicit. Its silence is complicity, as they say. International community was turning a blind eye over Israel since its early beginnings. Many international resolutions in the UN, General Assembly and Security Council were passed to protect Israel and to give it the protection that it needs. Even in 2004, when the International Court of Justice in Hague ruled that the wall was illegal and has to be dismantled, nothing has happened. There is no mechanism within this international community to force Israel implement what it has to.
But that's on a political level. Let's look at on a street level. Everyday Israelis, kids going to university, mothers doing their shopping. 59% of these want preference in public jobs for Jews over Arabs. 49% of everyday Israelis want the state to treat Jews better than Arabs. Tell us about some of the what this translates as an experience of Palestinians living inside Israel.
Well, I tell you a fact. You know, it's not Palestinians who are suffering the discrimination. It's everyone in Israel. Israel is discriminate within themselves. You know, the Sephardim, the Ashkenazim, and the sects within Israeli society are discriminated against. For example, the Eastern Jews who from Arabic countries who came to occupied Palestine are discriminated against. Also, if we look into the Arabs who live in the Arabs of 1948 who live inside occupied Palestine, there is, for example, the military service, the compulsory military service. Those who serve within the Israeli army, okay, are getting all the kind of benefits, and Palestinians are not serving, so automatically they're not getting. But in the same time, there are some Jewish yeshiva students, religious students, who are not serving like Arabs, but to get the benefits.
Saba, a point made by Sami there, that actually we're looking at one group here, the Palestinians, the inside, but actually there are Ethiopians, there are Africans working in Israel who suffer the prejudice.
They are subjected to discrimination as well, but I mean, the majority of people who are witnessing and suffering daily these type of discrimination are the Palestinians. And it's actually been going on for 64 years. It's nothing just been happening in the past year or 2 years. This is actually since the foundation of the state of Israel, the Palestinian people were subjected to this kind of treatment. And it's no ending. It's not ending. It's happening on a daily basis in Gaza. It's happening on a daily basis, as we heard from your reporters, in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. So it's a daily occurrence regarding the Palestinian people. And actually, it's a process of dehumanization of the Palestinian people. You know, they use all type of repression, military, psychological, and so on. Even the olive tree doesn't escape from this kind of things. They want to attack the livelihood of the Palestinians to sustain them throughout the struggle as well.
Okay, so this poll is just business as usual, perhaps, but what is different is that for the first time, America has a black president serving a second term, and yet he's supporting a state saying the Israeli state's one of my best friends, a place where 33% of the people object to Israeli Arabs having the right to vote. What isn't being done to make the Obama government and the people of America see this for what it is?
Well, I think what is happening within the Arab countries, there is no mechanism within all these Arabic countries to pressure on the U.S. I guess we have lots of tools as Arab states to pressure on the U.S. to change its foreign policy. But sadly, Arab states and Arab regimes are silent. They're not pressuring. If they want, they can, and they could affect the American foreign policy. But alas, they don't want to do this. And this is reflected on Obama, you know, his promises when he came for his first term were giving us hope. But after that, this hope turned into a gloomy sky where it trained the Israeli rockets within his very first days when he was elected.
And why aren't Americans seeing that this 33% object to Israeli Arabs having the right to vote, for example, 69% object to giving Palestinians the right to vote if Israel annexes the West Bank? This is back to the 1950s in America. You could never say, you could never picture America saying 69% of Americans feel that Jews shouldn't have the right to vote in America.
The reason they accept this happening in Palestine and not happening in London or Washington is simply is something doesn't concern them. The state of Israel was created by the West to be an advance base to suppress the Arab masses, to control the resources in the Middle East, and so on. And therefore, Israel serves the interest of the West primarily.
I'm just thinking, you know, what should happen, perhaps, Sami, is that a wider poll should be done. Do Europeans, white Europeans, also feel that the Arabs in Israel? That would be an interesting follow-up to poll to do. Is it whiteness? Is it supremacy? Is it that Arabs and Muslims have become the other, whereby they should have less rights in the wider mind?
Well, there has been this stereotype image about the Arabs, that even here in England, that Arabs and Muslims are the other and Israel is us. But this is, I guess, is it changing? A recent poll in Norway and Germany a few months ago showed that most of those residents, Norwegians and Germans, they think that Israelis are very radicals. Israelis, they don't want peace. And most of them, the majority of those who were in the poll, supported the Palestinians over the Israelis. This shows that the mainstream is, I guess, moving towards the Palestinian, but it needs some more time. I guess Israelis are losing the mainstream in Europe because of their practices and the flagrant violation that they are doing against international law.
Let's move on to the Turkish trial of Israeli military chiefs now. IDF former chief of staff Gabi Ashkenazi was governing over a raid on the Turkish boat in 2010, where nine Turks were, we can say, assassinated. These are the accusations that are being carried out. Is it just a show trial, or will it have political resonance?
Well, I guess it's more of a political message to Israel. You know, the ties between Israel and Turkey has been blanking down because Israel refused to apologize or compensate the victims of the Mavi Marmara. And Turkey, in the same time, is moving strongly towards the Arab countries and is now having, for example, if you go to the Gaza Strip, you will see lots of organizations and lots of support from Turkish government, which really angers the Israeli government. So let me say it's more of a game between Turkey and Israel. And I guess Israelis are extremely angry. The ambassador of Israel in Turkey said we should be consulted, and Israel should have been consulted over this. But I guess it's more of a play between of them. Turkey want to tell Israel that we are able and capable of doing this and that, and we would continue support the Palestinian. And this was clear 2 days ago when Erdogan, Prime Minister of Turkey, said, "I will visit Gaza." This, I guess, was a clear message to Israel as well.
So a clear message to Israel. Thank you both for joining me today. That's all we have time for in this week's RP. Join us again next time for more news from the front line of the new Middle East. I'm surprised you didn't...